morning. A beautiful day outside. If you have your Bibles, I want you to join me, if you would, over in the book of Luke in the second chapter, the story of good news for all men. It begins this way in verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. The census first took place when Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, unto Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now, when they had seen him, they made widely known the sayings which was told them concerning the child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. A beautiful story. We're familiar with it. We celebrate it at this time of the year, the time of the year that we call Christmas. But my question to you this morning is, how does Christmas change your world? Now think about that for a moment. How will your world be different after Christmas passes this coming week? Or how will it be next month or next year? Will you be happier? Will you have more peace in your life? Will you be a better person? Or will you just have more things? Maybe owe a little more money. Maybe you have to work a few extra hours in order to balance again the strains upon your budget. If we're completely honest, Christmas doesn't really change our world all that much. Even those who believe, like we do, that Jesus Christ did come, and that he was God's son, and that he is the Savior of the world, Christmas really doesn't change our lives that much, does it? We celebrate like the world does, or at least this country, a great holiday. Here, the American holiday. And we enjoy the lights, and we enjoy the tree, and we enjoy the gatherings with family and with friends, and perhaps with the parties, and maybe you even enjoy the shopping. But when everything is done, the only real change that Christmas brings to our world is it makes us a little bit poorer, a little more tired, and all this for an event that God really never called us to celebrate. Think about that for a moment. We're never asked in Scripture once to remember his birth. You see, our celebration of Christmas is truly just our human endeavor. He commanded us to remember his death That's why we came to the Lord's table and do every Lord's day. But to celebrate his birth, that's our thing. That's kind of a human thing. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I say that's a good thing. But my question is, does it really change our lives? The purpose of the birth of Jesus Christ was to bring a change to the world. And as I thought about that, I asked myself, how does it change? How does Christmas change my world? What did we read here? What did the angel say? Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there's born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And a sign for you, you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. Take all of those scriptures together, and what does it say the coming of Christ will bring into the world, into my world? Said it should calm our fears. Don't be afraid. Said it should bring us joy. It was a joyful tiding, it says, to all people. And should bring us peace, goodwill to one another. But if you stand back a few steps and look at your life today, would you say that Christmas has made you any less afraid of anything? Has it truly brought joy into your life? Are you at peace, true peace? I would guess most of us would probably find it hard to say that Christmas changes our world, or that changes us as individuals. But Christmas can change my world. How? In the first place, I think as you read this story, you see it allows me to understand and to really experience genuine love. We all know the three little words. God is love. We've heard that many, many times. The Apostle John wrote those words in his first letter that he wrote to the believers in the Mediterranean world. If you want to look, it's over in 1 John in chapter 4, beginning in verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is. You see, at Christmas, we celebrate the fact God became flesh, became a man, so that he could free us from the power and the penalty of sin. John writes elsewhere about it over in the book of John, the first chapter, the very first word is, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In that first chapter, if you jump down to verse 14, it goes on to say, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us and beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. God sent his Son, who became in flesh, this little baby. And he came and dwelt among us so that we could behold his glory, so that we could learn what love was all about. God sent Christ, and Christ came because God is love. He became a man so that he could show us the way. A story told about a farmer. It was one Christmas evening, middle of winter, of course, just before dark. He kept hearing a tap, a tap. Back up a little bit, and he hear a tap again. And he got up and he went into the other room. And there, as he looked out the window, he saw there was a little songbird that kept flying into the glass. And he'd bounce off, and he would come back and fly against the glass again. And he looked at that, and then he looked out the window, and out there on the field was a whole flock of little songbirds. There was snow on the ground, and they were wiggling around in the snow, trying to stay warm and trying to find something to eat. guess the bird saw the light and wanted to come into the house because there would be warm. What am I going to do? Then he thought, I have a large barn out there. I'm going to go open the door to the barn and they can come in and be safe and warm. And I have a lot of hay there. They can surely find seat amongst the hay. So he puts on his coat and he trumps through the snow and he goes to the barn and he opens the door and he stands back waiting for the birds to come in, and they don't come in. So he goes in and he turns the light on. If the bird was attracted to the light of my house, it would be attracted to the light of the barn. But the birds didn't come in. So he sprinkled a little seed on the ground and out there towards where the birds were so they will follow the trail of the seed and they'll come into the safety of the barn. And they did come for a way, but they didn't come into the barn. And so he says, what am I going to do? So he decides he's going to go around to the other side of the flock of the little birds and he's going to scare them into that. And that didn't work at all. That was a big flop. And he finally came to the realization, if only I were a bird, then I could go amongst them and I could tell them where they could find safety and warmth and seed. I could save their lives. That's exactly what Jesus did for us. He came so that we could learn how to be safe and warm and fed. So that we could understand God's plan for us. So that he can tell us where to find safety. So he can save us. Christmas gives me the opportunity to experience firsthand the meaning of real, genuine love. That he would love us so much that he would come down and take our form. And if I can experience that love, if you can experience that love, Christmas takes on a whole different meaning. But there's a second way I think that Christmas changes my world. It changes my world by providing me lasting peace. Peace on earth, goodwill towards men. We read it in that story. Peace. Peace is something we all want. Peace is something we all need. Peace is something that most of us don't. And don't keep very long if we ever get it for a moment. There's always something that is attacking our peace, always taking up our time and our energy. And as we look back at our lives, sometimes we decide that the actions that we have taken in the past still haunt us. We desire to have a better way, a more fulfilling life, a different path to follow. If we could only go back and redo some of the mistakes that we have made, maybe we would be filled. Maybe we would be satisfied. Maybe we would be complete. But since we don't have that, and we lack that completeness, as a result, we lack peace. Rather than days filled with peace and confidence, sometimes they're just filled with stress and with worry. All Christmas time we hear all about peace on earth. But what we're really looking for is peace within ourselves. See, one of the great things that God shows us in this story is that if we can truly accept God, then we can have, in the first place, peace with God. That little baby that was born and laid in a manger came so that we could have that kind of peace with God. We all read and know that sin separates from God, separates us from God, and Jesus came that he might show us the way back to a restoration of that connection that we once had. So when we can fix that, our relationship with God, we can have peace with God. And when we have peace with God, then there's another peace we can have. We can have peace with other people. Face it. Look around the world. Look across the fence. Look at the people you work with or go to school with. We don't often have peace with those that are around us. We always think they're disturbing our peace. I guess in reality, we might be disturbing their peace as well. Scripture talks about that. If you have your Bibles, you might turn with me over to the book of Romans in chapter 12, verse 18. It says, if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. A little further over in Romans 14, verse 19, it says, therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things which one may edify another. The goal is, according to Scripture, do what you can to be at peace with other people. But how does Christmas help me to experience peace with other people? If I can have a true relationship with God, I can understand that if God is willing to forgive me of my shortcomings, then I ought to be able to forgive other people of the shortcomings I perceive that they have. I can choose to experience peace in my relationship with others because God chose to forgive me when I came into Christ. I think if I can have peace with God, if I can have peace with other people, maybe I can have peace with myself. That's really important. Christmas helps me to remember that I can have peace with myself. You ever get up and look in the mirror and say, you know, I'm not real excited about what I see reflecting back to me. That all may be physical and I can't help it. I'm just getting old. But what about what it sees within when you think about yourself? The beauty of Christmas is this story tells us that God gave us a way to change who we are. Go over the book with me to 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, verse 17. It's an interesting verse, and it reads like this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I can be having peace with myself, not because who I am. I'm not that great a guy. But because in Christ, I am a new creation. And all the old guy has passed away. And I got that when I was immersed for the remission of my sins and rose as a new creature in Christ. So I'm not the same old sinful guy. That's not to say I don't sin. We all sin. But let's hope it's more the exception than the rule of our life when we turn ourselves over to Christ. I can have peace within me because Christ is now working within me to renew me day by day and to strengthen me as I move forward. So what does Christmas change my world by doing? It changes my world by helping me to experience genuine love. It helps me to realize that there is a lasting peace that I can have. But there's a third thing, a final thought. Christmas also changes my world by giving me a purpose. Many people aren't living their lives. Their lives are just kind of living them. Moving day by day, we often do without any sense of where we're headed, what we're going to do. Some people, no goals, no dreams, no planning for tomorrow, no asking themselves, who am I? Why am I here? What is my purpose in life? What am I supposed to be doing? And when you have this lack of purpose, then you often have depression. Sometimes you have self-destruction behavior. It gives you at least a sense of hopelessness, as if you're lost. But Christmas is all about hope. It's all about purpose. Yes, purpose to my life. It gives me the thought that I was created by an almighty God who loves me so much and thinks it's so important that I have a purpose in my life that he sent his own son down here to show mankind the way. What did we read? Let's go back to John 1 again. Beginning in the first verse, It said, in the beginning, the Word, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. And then down beginning in verse 11, he came to his own, and his own did not receive him, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He became one of us so he could pay for our sins and restore our relationship that we were created with by God. So his birth, his death, his resurrection all give purpose to us. I believe we all should have a life that is driven by some kind of purpose. And as we talked this morning specifically, I think we're all created to worship God. That's why we're here, one of the things. I think we all are created to become a part of the community of his body, the church. I think we're created and we have a purpose to continue to grow spiritually, to mature in his word and his understanding of his purpose. I think we were put here with the purpose of serving other people. And I think we're put here to share the gospel, to evangelize. And you don't have to be a preacher to do that. You just have to talk to your friends, your acquaintances, and to your family. But all of this starts with the foundation of a purpose of knowing God, knowing his Son, doing his will. How does Christmas change my life? It's not through all of this that we see around us. It's not the bright lights and the Christmas trees. It's not all the gifts, and it's not even all the memories that we create with family. As important as all of that is, to pause in a busy year and bring those that you love together to remember how you're blessed. No. That's the way the world celebrates Christmas. But Christmas, when we think about the birth of Christ, the Son that became flesh, Emmanuel, God with us, it says. It changes my world by allowing me to experience genuine love. It changes my world by providing me with everlasting peace. It changes my world by giving me a purpose in life. And I say, you need that too. We all need that. So this week, as you approach the time in which you'll gather with your loved ones and open your presence, remember the reason, the purpose for this season. Come if you will this morning. Christ invites you to come through faith in him. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ? Are you willing to repent of your sins, change the direction of the way you live, seek him? Are you willing to confess that faith? Not just before us, but before God. Are you willing to be immersed to have those sins removed? Rise and walk as that new creature. Purpose to serve him. Come if you will. We stand and sing.